What up, what up? World Hockey Report with Cody Jansen. Coming to you Friday, January 12th on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. Hey, the 12s and 12s lineup. That's pretty cute. Another big show. Team Canada announced their Olympic roster yesterday. The Americans announced their two remaining goalies. We get all in detail into that stuff. Adam joins us. A little bit of Western Hockey League. Trade deadline was a zoo. Who won? Who lost? Some more players in the NHL on the move. One big trade to tell you about. Give you a little hint. Chicago and Arizona. We'll break that one down, kind of who won, who lost that trade. Duclair's on the move. There's some massive college hockey games coming up this weekend. If you're a college hockey fan, even a European hockey fan, there's some massive stuff coming up. We'll get into what's trending. We're bringing on Adam Ermentrout again to co-host this one. Adam, my boy, coming into this one. That's all to come. World Hockey Report with Cody Jansen starts now. Adam, how's it going today?
What up, what up?
That's my thing. You can't take what up, what up. That's how I start the show.
All right, I'm good, Cody. How are you doing?
Yeah, well, I mean, I could have been better, but seems like my catchphrase is kind of getting stolen. But another Friday, January 12th, lots of hockey going on this weekend, so I can't complain. How's your week been?
It's good. Good, you know, lots of school, just getting into the thick of things. Kind of just followed the dub trade deadline all yesterday, so it wasn't a very productive day.
Do anything crazy?
Me personally, no.
I created my first guy. I created my first Bitmoji on Snapchat, so it's kind of a big deal there. Did you get the update for Snapchat?
Yeah. Sucks.
Holy, that's a bomb right there. I don't get it. I don't know how to find Snapchat stories. It's hard to even open Snapchats, and I like to think of myself as a half-assed tech guy.
Yeah, it sucks. I hate it. I don't even know if I get Snapchats anymore. Every time somebody makes a Snap story, you gotta clear it from your feed. It's just horrible.
Yeah, you have to like double tap just to watch Snapchat stories, and it's all messed up in order. If you got something to complain about this week, it's probably Snapchat. Also got the new update on the iPhone. That took about 2 hours of my day, it felt like. Sitting around waiting for that bitch to load. Pain in the ass. Come on, iPhones, Apple, whatever. Get it right. Big hockey week, though. Team Canada announced their roster yesterday. That's going to be the main one, obviously, we're going to be focusing on. You've seen the roster. No NHLers in this year's Olympics. What did you think of what they're going to try to throw on the ice?
Yeah, I don't know. Me, personally, I'm more excited for the women's Canada-USA gold medal game. Shout out Emily Clark, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Yeah, I don't know. It's a NHL waiver PTO team, guys who couldn't crack the league for a variety of reasons. Some of them, like, you know, they might be good enough to play in the NHL, but some of them are also 33 years old and they probably have a pretty nice life in the Swedish Hockey League, but it's hard to know who our top players will be. Ben Scrivens and Ned, he once had like a 53 save shutout for the Oilers, so maybe he has big game capabilities, but, you know, it is what it is.
Gosh, I hope they don't start Scrivens. Getting to watch him in some of those pre-tournament games is just bad, and I mean, I kind of feel bad. It feels like he's always the good guy on, like, Twitter and social media. Like, you always see, like, people, like, tweeting at him and his wife, Jen or Jennifer, whatever. And I'm just the one ripping on Ben Scrivens here, and everyone's like, oh, these guys are awesome, great power couple, probably take over the world, and I'm like, gosh, if this guy's in net, we're screwed. I was way on the fence more for Barry Bruss to get a start or even get a call to the team, but they opted out of that, so what can you do? Six WHL grads on the team, though. It's pretty cool. Only one Sasky boy. Kind of disappointed.
Blended Bay. Shout out Waukesha, Saskatchewan.
Shout out Waukesha, Saskatchewan.
I think the coolest thing about this whole, I guess you'd wear other NHLers be at the Olympics, but the coolest thing is that one of these guys will probably score a big goal at some point in the tournament for Canada and kind of become a household name for a little bit, not have to buy a drink in this country.
I think a lot of them have already played or have international experience. I mean, tons of them were at one point or another, I mean, high-ranked NHL prospects. They're all decent hockey players, don't get me wrong. I mean, the KHL isn't a bad league. The Swiss Elite League. These guys are from all over. And they got some of the best coaching staff out there, too. They are true professionals. Willie Desjardins, shout out Climax Saskatchewan. Probably one of the funnest names out there. And Dave King, Saskatoon boy, Adam's hometown. Clutch.
Coach my dad.
Did he coach the Saskatoon Blades?
No, Saskatchewan Huskies.
Oh, the U of S.
He's one of the seven coaches who coach in the NHL. Him, Babcock, Desjardins, Gullitson, McClellan, all the boys.
That's nuts. How are the Huskies doing this year? I can't even say I followed any of that.
I think they're top five in Canada. Alberta's only lost one game, but okay. it was to the Huskies, so they'll probably be in the dance again come middle of March.
So the dog pound there is pretty lit, eh?
Last year for 1929.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, but what a barn. If you want something with history, I mean, the Rutherford, I don't think there's anything like it. There's nothing in the SJ, Junior B. There's no way any university or anything's like it. It's nuts. Give everyone a description. I mean, people are going to be listening from all over, Adam. What's your thoughts on the Rutherford?
Well, it's a big concrete building. They're not allowed to serve alcohol at the game. So a university event, no alcohol, probably not the best recipe. You walk in, there's a little ticket window. It says, welcome to the doghouse on the one side. And then you go up a set of stairs. And, there's a hallway at the top. And it's basically just one side of seats. Although the biggest problem with it is that there's pillars holding up the roof that's basically in the way of every sight line. So if you're sitting higher than row three, you're probably going to have a pillar blocking your view at some point in the game. Also, the benches aren't on the same side of the ice. The visiting benches in the stands and the Husky benches on their own side there. So yeah, lots of history. There's a thing called rust delays when you play Rutherford. So if the puck ever hits the metal bearings on the roof, usually some rust comes down and the student trainers go on the ice and have to shovel it off. But, it's history, and maybe the Huskies get some sort of an advantage playing there.
It's got some heritage to it, that's for sure. But, yeah, those huge-ass pillars on the ones are on the side of stands. Ridiculous. We went to a game last year, I think we did, and it was, we showed up, I'm pretty sure we showed up before warm-ups and the place was packed already. Like, it was standing room only because it only seats, 200 people? 300? And
yeah,
it was packed.
Yeah, a couple hundred.
It was stupid. I mean, you got to show up 2 hours before the game, probably before the players, just to get a decent seat. Can't wait for them to get a new barn. It's supposed to be, top of the line. Are they building it already, or?
Yeah, it's... They got all the outside, finished, but you can see kind of the design of the rink from the outside.
Okay, that's pretty sick. It's supposed to be some beauty barn there. Two sheets of ice or something, so... Okay, crazy stat, though. Back on the Olympics, I was looking this up earlier today. Team Canada, they've got 5,544 games of NHL experience combined. I guess most of it was with the forwards. But it was nuts. I mean, 5,500 NHL games.
Really?
Yeah,
You get about a couple. You get about 600 or 700 with Chris Kelly, and then another couple hundred with Scrivens, and then a couple with Howden and Klinkhammer. So yeah, I can see it.
Mason Raymond, Wojtech Wolski. A lot of those.
Derek Roy. That's
yeah, yeah. Roy was a four-time 20 goal scorer in the show. I mean, Chris Kelly played a full season last year. The crazy thing there, that frickin' Wolski. He spent time all over, but he broke his neck in 2016, in October of 2016, in the KHL. That's nuts. I mean, do you ever think he thought he was going to be playing hockey again, more or less in the Olympics? A couple of years ago there, he's sitting with a broken neck. That's nuts.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine, learning how to walk after that, let alone having a broken neck and getting back on the blades and stuff.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, you gotta hope for all the best. It's kind of cool for these guys in a certain sense where you're like, if the NHLers were, none of these guys would actually have a hope of making the team. So it's pretty cool. But there's also a couple of guys who might have been on the outside looking in. That's Chris Lee and Matt Robinson. two Canadians, never played in the NHL. Not one game. Lee and Robinson. That's pretty cool for them. You know, get to represent when you haven't even cracked the top league in the world.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And Chris Lee played in the World Championships last year. And, you know, he stayed on the team even when NHL players were getting knocked out of the playoffs. And somehow Chris Lee stayed there. And I think we got silver because we lost in the shootout.
Yeah, he's 37 years old. I think he spent a bunch of time over in the KHL and stuff. So it kind of sucks if he's got a family. You got to play over in Russia at 37. But there's a couple of huge cuts, and I was kind of shocked, to say the least. Just looking at previous tournaments there, even like the Spangler Cup, the Karjala Cup there, Capital One, all those Olympic pre-tournaments that everyone seems to be playing in except for Canada. This is our first year ever doing some of those, except for the Spangler. But got P.A. Peronto, Simone Dupre, Max Talbot, Matt Ellison, Nick Spaulding, Teddy Purcell, Jay McClement, Zach Boychuk, Matt Fratton, and Barry Brust. Recognize any of those names?
Zach Boychuk played in the dub with Lethbridge. Nick Spaulding was on the Leafs, Sharks, and Predators a couple of years ago, and Ted Purcell was in the NHL like last year with I think Kings, and the year before he's playing on Connor McDavid's line. So he's a bit of a surprise cut for me, but you know, we kind of bashed the World Junior team and they won gold. So
true. Who are we to talk? Who are we to talk? I think Talbot or Max Talbot there. He's even got a Stanley Cup. Pretty sure. P.A. Peronto. Well, I think he was like a $4 million man in the NHL there a couple of years ago. It's pretty interesting. Pretty crazy to see all these guys that could even be on the team, and they're kind of household names for your average hockey fan who's going to be following this. But the Americans also revealed their team, picked some of their goalies. What did you think of them? Do you think they're going to have anywhere close to as good of a team as the Canadians? Or
yeah, I think that they're the same. It's all kind of a crapshoot right now. Like, the only difference, I guess, between the two teams is that the Americans have a couple college guys on their team. So maybe, like, some of that youth movement kind of shows. It could show in a good or bad way, I guess. Like, you know, as we said, most of these guys at one point were kind of high-end NHL prospects with long careers ahead of them. So, you know, maybe Greenway and Terry show in a good way, or maybe they struggle a little bit. But I think overall the teams will match up evenly.
It's going to be cool to see. I like the whole they're bringing in some college, some amateur guys. I wish the Canadians would have done it. I mean, what's your opinion on that? I think there's some of those college guys. I don't know about major juniors. That's a stretch. But what do you think about Canada not bringing in any young guns?
I would have disagreed if they brought in major junior players, especially like the ones that played at the World Junior, because as somebody who follows the Western Hockey League, you're going to the game to see the stars, and you're not going to sell tickets to Regina Pats games with Sam Steele and Pyeongchang. But, you know, we did. Apparently, we offered Makar a spot.
That's a load of garbage. That's come from one TSN reporter, not going to name names. I don't think anyone else has actually reported that, other than just one guy sends out a tweet. And Makar hasn't commented on it. UMass hasn't commented on it. The NCAA hasn't. Like, come on. Who are we actually believing here? You think this kid's going to turn down a chance to play in the Olympics? I highly doubt it.
Yeah, I'm not too sure with that. It would have been nice to see him there, definitely. But, you know, I think that college players will probably help the States, you know, just because they have experience playing for their country on the big stage, like recently.
The youth is going to be huge on there. It's, I think Team Canada, some of their youngest guys are like 25. It's going to be a pretty smart, well-thought-out experience tournament, but some of those young guys definitely will help. I mean, I like the Americans picking up Troy Terry and that. I think that's a great addition. Greenaway there. Big body, you can score, you can move the puck well. They're proven players, and I do agree with the Americans giving them a chance. I wish the Canadians would have. Guys like Jake Evans, they're in Notre Dame, tearing it up. Cale Makar, UMass Amherst. It makes no sense why, if they would offer Cale Makar a spot, why he wouldn't go. He's playing at UMass Amherst. A year ago, he was playing with the Brooks Bandits of the AJHL. Like, no kidding, he's going to want to go play in the Olympics in 2 years. It was probably never in his dreams. But even at UMass, like, what, is he going to miss? Is he missing school? Like, oh, boo-hoo, you're going to be gone, but you're going to be playing at the biggest tournament in the world. Doesn't, you're probably not going to finish your 4 years of schooling anyways. It literally affects no one. It doesn't make sense. I can't imagine they offered him a spot. I'm going to have to call BS on that.
Yeah, I'm not too sure with that. Like, there are, like, I can understand why he would not accept a spot, but, you know, he's not going there.
That's bottom line. He doesn't want to go to South Korea. Maybe it's his parents. His parents don't want him there. Safety issue. Gotta love the kids nowadays. Everyone's too worried about that. Speaking of some of those young guns, Western Hockey League trade deadline a couple of days ago now. Some huge moves. It felt like almost everyone who was on the World Junior team all across Canada was on some sort of trade deadline. I'm sure if they could have taken the college kids and traded them, they would have as well. It felt like no one was safe this deadline. What did you like about it? What didn't you like about it?
Well, first off, the OHL trading picks that are like 9 years down the road is just ridiculous. I'm glad that the Western Hockey League has the four-year gap on the picks. I've never seen anything like it, though. Like, the Saskatchewan division's, like, I guess the Eastern division's the strongest division probably in the CHL. They have three top five teams, including the Memorial Cup host, who's not even ranked. So, yeah, that's crazy. And just, like, names like Clegg, Radish, Thomas, Bean, all on the move.
We'll get to those rankings in a bit. I think that's nuts as well. But has there ever been a conference? I know not in our lifetime. There's no chance in hell. But has there ever been a conference as strong as the East and the Western Hockey League as this year? I mean, up until January 10th, there was four teams that could have represented the Dub at the Mem Cup. Guaranteed.
Yeah, it's probably down to three now, but just like, if you look at it, the Brandon Wheat Kings ranked sixth in Canada. They're 27-11 or whatever. They sold at the trade deadline because the other three teams in their division, they realized are better than them, and that Brandon kind of was in a spot where the two guys they traded, Cale Clegg and their captain, Tanner Kaspik, they knew they probably weren't coming back next year. So they just kind of said, you know what, Moose Jaw, Swift Current, Regina, have a run at it, but we're pulling ourselves out of the race. And I think it's the right move for them. They got four first-round picks at the end of the day.
They did well acquiring. They did. I mean, last week they were number five in the CHL top 10. This week they're number six. But, yeah, it's tough. I mean, you got to, pulling the chute that late, I mean, their biggest trades were two of the three last ones. That's a last-minute decision to really pull chute on a Dub playoff run. And I think if they would have done it a day earlier, they could have hauled in even better. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. I don't think they had any plans on selling until they seen, oh shit, Swift Current's stacking up, Moose Jaw's loaded, Regina's still going. Like, I don't know. I mean, can you put that as a bad GM move? They got some good players for Clegg, no doubt about it. Kaspik, McDonald. Two first-round picks are good. Not too sure about Lambos and Thorpe, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I think, you know, at the end of the day, they got a 17-year-old forward, and, you know, a young defenseman who will help them next year when, you know, if you look at Moose Jaw, Swift Current, Regina, next year, those are probably the bottom three teams in that division, right? After being the top three teams in the whole WHL, pretty much, they're going to be the bottom three teams next year. So I think it was smart for Brandon to kind of pull out of the race. Like, they went to a WHL finals and lost, and then they went to a WHL finals and won. So, you know, they had their time, and, you know, I think it was smart of them to sell off.
How big of trouble are teams like Swift Current? I don't know about Moose Jaw and Regina. They might not be as bad, but Swift Current's going to be hurting next year.
Regina's bad.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, they will be. I think, well, Regina, too, they gave all their first-round picks to the Blades, and apparently they only have a third-round pick. Like, a third-round pick's their highest pick in the next 3 years.
Holy.
And they only have one of them, I believe.
It's your fun fact of the day. Jeepers. Can you imagine next 3 years only having a third round pick as your highest?
Yeah. That's why it's somewhat of a burden to host the Memorial Cup, because if you look at Seattle, apparently last year they acquired a third round pick, and that was all the buying and selling they did at the trade deadline, and they ended up winning the league, albeit they have a top three Calder Trophy finalist on their team last year, Matt Barzal. But, you know, it's just kind of the Memorial Cup, it's a blessing and it's a burden also, you know. You get to host it and you feel the pressure to overpay for just about anything. And like, if you look at the Saskatoon Blades, they're still paying for it for 5 years ago.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you lose out first round and you stack up a team who's garbage, and then fans give up on you because they know you're almost hopeless, and you got to play against Portland and Halifax Mooseheads at home. Like, that was just unfortunate amount of situations went wrong for the Blades.
Yeah, they did, and, you know, I don't know what Regina was doing, but the moves they made probably weren't the moves that are going to get them to a championship
now,
level.
The gutsiest move of the day. I know we kind of talked about this a little bit before when it actually happened, but the Blades, the Pats, my apologies, they dish off Brown, the goalie, bunch of others to Saskatoon. They get Hebake, and they get Ryan Kubik, who for Saskatoon, he's almost been their backup for the past 2 months. You'd have more insight on this. He came from Vancouver this year, and now they're stuck with Kubik in net, but it was kind of just, they ran out of luck. They ran out of time. I mean, they might have had other deals in place for a top netminder, and now they're in trouble, it looks like.
It's probably not the best look to trade for a 19-year-old goalie who lost a starting spot to a 16-year-old who played in the SJHL this year. Yeah, it's probably not the best look for him, and he's never played a playoff game either, you know, at least the goalie they traded, Tyler Brown, played in, like, the WHL Finals last year, and a lot of people were saying that he won them the series against Swift Current last year, so without him, they don't win that series. So, you know, Brown goes to the Blades, and now the pressure's off him, and a lot of people are thinking that he'll kind of turn the tables. But, yeah, it would surprise me if John Paddock wasn't calling Everett or wasn't calling Kamloops to get Carter Hart or Dylan Ferguson, because I don't think if you asked him a week ago if his starting goalie would be Ryan Kubik, he would say, yeah, absolutely. I think he was hoping for somebody a little better than that.
I heard of the Carter Hart trade rumors, and I heard that they were close there, but it fell through, and that's horrible. I mean, that is a garbage look on your team to downgrade in netminders. As you said, I mean, Kubik's never played a playoff game. That's huge. I mean, that experience is massive. And you can't take that away from Brown. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a fan of him as a starter, but at least he played last year in playoffs. Might not have had phenomenal playoffs, but that's tough. That's a rough one.
Yeah, and I think as soon as Everett bought from Kamloops, like, they got two signed NHL prospects, Pilon and Bala, you should probably just assume that they're not going to just get rid of Carter Hart like that, right? So, yeah, like, there's probably 10 goalies who you can maybe pry out of somewhere if you're willing to pay the right price, but ending the day with Ryan Kubik and two 17-year-olds as your goaltenders probably isn't how Regina Pats fans or John Paddock envisioned it.
Yeah, you're taking the L on that one, Regina. You really messed up. That was just brutal. What was some of your favorites? Obviously, you're in Saskatoon, Blades insider guy there. Blades made some pretty big moves. What was some of your favorites there?
I thought they did a really good job, you know. They basically, like, they traded they got first-round picks from Regina, which, you know, if history repeats itself, which it's tended to do so, those are probably top three or five picks in both the 19 and 20 drafts. And they also got a couple seconds and a third. And then, you know what, if you're looking at next year, they don't have much beyond Kirby Dach for scoring, and their 20-year-old situation for next year was basically empty. So, you know, what do? You go and get a perennial 30-goal scorer, Max Gerlach, from the Medicine Hat Tigers, who's 19 this year, he'll help you this year at least, you know, get into the playoffs and show the fan base that, you know, you're back on a winning note. And then, you know, you also look for some youth, for guys who are going to help you in 2 years. And then you go and trade two more first-round picks for Eric Florchuk. So, you know, the Florchuk, it was a big price to pay, but you're not just going to assume that, or I guess you know which player you're getting, where, you know, you draft a first-round pick, he doesn't sign, he doesn't develop, he commits to college somewhere else, and you basically lose it for nothing. So at least you get a player who's in the here and now, and it's probably going to be a NHL draft pick this year.
Florchuk's sick. Florchuk's sick. I've got to watch him a couple of times. Kid's nasty. I mean, he's from Fort, I mean, Edmonton area there. He's played with Donk. He's played with Waters in Saskatoon. I think that's massive. Two first-round picks, it is steep. But if you think about Florchuk, he's getting invited to that CHL, NHL top prospect scheme. It wouldn't surprise me to see him go third round. I don't want to push it and say second or push it too late and say fourth, but he's an NHL draft pick guaranteed. He's got close to 30 points this year already. 2000 born. Nuts. And yeah, Max Gerlach, that's a huge pickup for the Blades. Definitely going to help him out this season, just keeping that fan base, keep putting some pucks in the net. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, and I watched the game last night, and, you know, they traded Hayek for Davidson, and they got, you know, a couple draft picks there from Regina. And I'll be the one to say it, but Davidson looks a heck of a lot better with the puck than Hayek ever did. You know, Hayek was a good skating guy who would make nice defensive plays, but I think the Blades really needed a power play quarterback, and they definitely got that with Davidson.
That's another good addition there. I don't know. I've never sold on the Blades imports the past couple of years. Hayek, Rubinchik. Nah, I mean, I know you can't comment on it, but I was never a fan of them. Their defense, they were good imports. They weren't great. They weren't anything special. I wouldn't buy a ticket to go see him. Hayek, I still couldn't believe he was a second-round pick when I saw him. He had a good camp in Tampa, I guess. He had a pretty good World Juniors, obviously, with the Czech Republic this year. He's on the upward curve, the bell curve. For you students there at U of S, he's on the upward bell curve there for his career. But sold on him? No, I do think there's a lot better D-man out there, and yeah, I think they should be happy with Davidson to help lead some of those young guys as well.
Yeah, exactly. And once again, he'll be back as a 20-year-old next year.
I think they're looking pretty good for 20-year-olds next year too, with him and Gerlach. So they're not too hurting there. Swift Current was massive over the deadline. They made some crazy trades. I seen today they've got over 2,000 season tickets sold. For Swift Current, you gotta think their barn can hold 2,500. So 2,000 season tickets is massive. That place is going to be off the rocker. They made some big trades before the deadline, but they got Giorgio Estepan from Lethbridge, Nagel, big winger there, kind of gritty guy, and then Stuart Skinner, the Edmonton Oilers prospect, in goal. They got rid of Flodell, Barlogi, Blocker, Stanley, and then a first, a second, and a third-round draft pick. But at end of the day, Swift Current's going for it, and they got to beat Moose Jaw. They know that. That's a heck of a trade. There's nothing wrong with that, because you know you're getting Skinner back. Estepan's a 19-year-old or an 18-year-old, I believe.
He's 20.
He's 20? He's 20. Okay, well, correct me if I'm wrong there.
That's what it.
Well, still, I mean, whatever, you got rid of Flodell, it's a 20 for a 20. You got Stuart Skinner in goal, he's going to be back next year. There's no way he makes the NHL, let's be realistic here. So, I think Swift Current came out on top of that one. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think it's helpful for both teams. I think Lethbridge knew that they weren't going to go for it this year. And I guess, you know, you look at it from Swift Current's side. Is Skinner an upgrade over Flodell? Not by what the numbers say. But, you know, you get Estevan and you get Nagel, who's a leader in the dressing room. And I guess Estevan really rounds out their top six. Like, pick your poison, because they're top six is probably the best in Western Canada.
Who's that nasty kid they got from Calgary there, Gennaro?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been ridiculous for him.
Yeah, and he's a 20-year-old goal scorer who's been to the playoffs before with Calgary and stuff, so
That kid's got some firepower. Love watching him. They also, just before the deadline here, well, I guess that was back in December, actually, they signed that Jackson Alexander kid from Victoria. They also picked up another good D-man, Josh Anderson, from Prince George. They gave up 2 first-rounders for him, but Anderson, big, tough D-man. And some guys I've talked to, kind of got my Western WHL insiders there, they say Anderson's one of the toughest D-men to play against in the West. Big boy, tough, strong defender, kind of an old style. Rare to come by nowadays. Have you seen Anderson play yet?
I haven't, but I've seen another guy who's probably one of the toughest guys in the league also, at Sabat Kyra. And, you know, you pair those two together, you got 2 6'3", 6'4" guys who are just mean as shit.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun to watch those two. And I think that's the playoff-type defender you need. The Dub, as much as every single league in the world is going towards skill, the Dub playoffs still seem to be physical, hard, grinded-out hockey. It makes it exciting.
It does, and, you know, what's kind of crappy about the new format is that one of those two teams is going to lose in the second round, right? Like Swift Current or Moose Jaw. So two of the top four teams in Canada, one of them's going home, you know, where the old format would have probably had Moose Jaw 1, Medicine Hat 2, Swift Current 3. So you probably won't see those two teams to the conference finals.
Yeah, that's the WHL, just a shit show there, scheduling. Whatever went wrong with the 1-8? I mean, realistically, why do we have to do all this wild card junk? It just makes it more confusing for the regular Joes like us that have to look at it and try predict who's going to be any decent. And we were talking about that earlier. It's kind of, the East is such a toss-up, but going through the playoffs right now, Swift Current and Brandon would play in the first round, Lethbridge would play Kootenay, Regina would get Medicine Hat, and then Saskatoon would get Moose Jaw. I don't think you could expect to see too many upsets. Swift Current, after Brandon dished off a bunch of their top guys, Swift wouldn't have any trouble.
They're going to fall off.
Yeah, I guess it's actually a good potential that Regina could actually come back and maybe grab that third spot. That would be a crazy first-round series, Regina and Swift.
And what was brought to my attention yesterday is that Brandon still hasn't had their U.S. road trip either.
Really? Okay, that's a tough one. The U.S. is very close, to say the least, up top. They are, I think it's 3 points deciding the top in the U.S. division. Throw Seattle in there, it's 6 points. 7 points, you include Spokane. So that's 7 points from your number 1 to number 5 in that U.S. division. That's nuts. That is probably almost unheard of. And Seattle's on a heater.
Yeah, and they sold a couple guys at the deadline, I guess. Like, a couple 19-year-olds they sold, which, you know, was the right thing after you won a WHL title. You should probably retool a little bit.
A little bit. Grab some of those prospects. BC division, Kelowna and Vancouver. Vancouver, they got that Davis Kosh from Edmonton. That's a good pickup. He was probably one of the Oil Kings' top forwards for sure. I don't know, maybe Vancouver has a chance to knock off an American team. Could happen. Unlikely. Could happen, yeah, though.
I think Victoria's probably my pick to win that division.
Really?
After, you know, getting Kasbeck. They have a more reliable goaltender than Vancouver or Kelowna.
You like Griffin Outhouse. The funniest name in hockey. Griffin Outhouse. It's classic. He's a heck of a goaltender. You gotta give it up to him there in Victoria. It's gonna be tough though to beat Kelowna. Kelowna's high scoring. Guys like Cole Lind, pretty motivated. Pretty motivated. I wonder what Cole Lind's last 10 games have been like. I think he's averaging like 2 points a game since being cut from the World Juniors, so talk about a motivated player.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that they're going to rely heavily on him, Dubé, and Foote to kind of lead the way. The U.S. division's so tough, though. I think it's going to be one of the big three out of there.
Who do you think's going to come out of that West? I mean, we're talking league championship now. Who's coming out? You got one BC, you got one American. Who's coming out?
BC, I'll pick Victoria. And then, you know, in the U.S., I got to go with Everett. I just think that Carter Hart's been Like, he's been too good this year, and if he gets hot in the playoffs, which, you know, if I was a betting man, I'd bet on that. I know they added a top-line center in Pilon, so I think that Everett can definitely do it. Portland's probably their biggest rival, but I think Everett's just deeper than Portland is.
I do agree. It's hard to go into Everett, but I got to go for an upset here. I think Portland, Portland's bound to get back on top there. Maybe Kaler has a hot run in net. So I'll go with Portland. And, oh, I mean, you got that whole Victoria thing stuck in my head now, and I got to go with that. But Kelowna's been pretty good defensively. They haven't allowed a bunch of goals. We'll go with Portland and Kelowna coming out of the West. So I think Portland. I like Cody Glass. Their offense is good. They can score some goals. Their defense has been very good as well. I mean, I think they've only allowed more goals than Everett, and Everett's got Carter Hart, who's phenomenal, to say the least. So we'll go with Portland coming out of the West.
And in the East?
That's a tough one. That's one we were talking about before. It's so crazy with all those teams, really competitive. Coming out of that East, though, we got to go with Swift Current. That's Stuart Skinner. If he can hold his own in playoffs, he got some good playoff experience last year. They went to the East Finals, I believe, against Swift Current. So Stuart Skinner has played some of the playoffs. Coming out of that Central, Medicine Hat, you'd assume. So a Swift Current Portland League Final, I could see it. I could definitely see it happening.
Just to be, you know, a little pick the rivals of your two teams. I think, you know, Moose Jaw's acquisition of Clegg kind of puts them over the top, and their 3 20-year-olds have been unreal this year.
I don't like their goaltending. I don't think Wilms has it in him. That's huge when it comes to playoffs, and you know, it's hard for me when I just picked against Carter Hart to actually have a comment. People must think I've never watched a hockey game in my life, but I think Swift Current's got the upper hand.
That's fair.
Very fair. Very fair. That Hobbiglewatt, whatever, kid out of Moose Jaw, he's good. He is going to be a threat in playoffs, and someone's going to have to stop him, and if someone is, it's got to be Swift Current's defense. They are up there with the best. Yeah, Moose Jaw picked up Cale Clegg, but Cale Clegg can't watch the top three scoring lines of Swift Current. He's going to have to eat. He can't eat 40 minutes a night. It's impossible. Going to be tough. Going to be tough. Looking at that CHL top 10, though, man, the Dub is good this year, especially in that East. Said Moose Jaw's number 2. They've got 6 regulation losses on the year, 33 wins. Swift Current at number 4. I think Swift Current even had some downtime there, losing all those guys from the World Juniors. You know, to get them back, that's huge. They're going to be motivated. Swift Current's looking good. Brandon's just going to be falling out of there. Kelowna grabs that 10th spot. Surprisingly, Regina. That's the shame. They're hosting. You really wish they would have planned a little bit more before the season. It's tough. It's tough when guys could potentially make pro squads in the American League, the NHL. I get it. It's tough, but They really weren't planning for it, and now they're kind of SOL with their goaltending situation.
Yeah, they are, and, you know, I guess the argument you can make for them is they've been out or without Sam Steele for most of the year, and, you know, Josh Mahura for a bit in December, but they're in tough, and, you know, like, what do you do if you're them? If you sell off the farm, you're going to be brutal for the next 5 years. And if you don't do anything, you embarrass yourself in May, so.
The worst part of junior hockey, I guess. Kids gonna age out, but yeah, that's gonna do it there. Adam, thanks for joining co-host this one. We'll get you on eventually, full time here. We'll get to some more college hockey and stuff later on in the show, but eventually, when Adam slows down with school there, slows down with all of his Dub Insider reports, we'll get him on full time for the show, but that's going to do it. Thanks for joining us, as always.
Beauty. Sounds good. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks to Adam for joining us once again on the World Hockey Report with Cody Jansen. What great insight. Hey, Dub Insider, guy knows his stuff. All that juniors, everything. guys up to date. Follow on Twitter. I mean, he's just blowing up the Twitter as well with World Hockey Report. Huge, huge video. It went massive on our World Hockey Report page. You gotta go check it out. It's that Swedish captain throwing his medal in the crowd. That was nuts. Absolute bonkers. Go check that out. Some big news, though. National Hockey League, stuff we haven't gotten to yet. One big trade last week. Rumors were flying around that Duclair wanted out of Arizona. He got his way. He's in Chicago now, not even on his way. He's in Chicago. Coyotes also got defenseman Adam Clandening in the deal. Clandening, former second-round pick, former American World Junior player back in 2012, played with Boston University. Boston. I don't know how they talk over there. Probably shouldn't try those accents. Bounced around the show. He's spent time in Vancouver, Edmonton, Chicago, Arizona. In return, though, well, I guess for Duclair, not having a great season. 9 goals, 6 assists in 33 games. Meh, he's all right. He's going to be looking for a new change. I think it's good. He's getting to play with some good leaders, Johnny Taves, Patrick Kane. I got some experience on that side. In return, Arizona gets Richard Panik, 26-year-old, 6 goals, 10 assists, 37 games. The bad part about this, he's on a $5.6 million deal for 2 years. It's a tough one. They also got minor league forward Laurent Dauphin. Laurent Dauphin, I don't know, that's some sort of French, 22-year-old Frenchie. Another second-round pick. Played 32 NHL games. He's also got 69 points in 146 AHLers. Dauphin. Is there a French way to say that? Dauphin? Whatever. He's going to Arizona. Get some college hockey. NCAA rankings coming out this week. They got Notre Dame at number 1. Notre Dame's on a 15-game heater. I mean, they're good. St. Cloud's at number 2. Clarkson sticking around. Clarkson's sticking around with the big boys at number 3, and Cornell moves up to number 4. Cornell's only got 2 losses on the season. Pretty impressive for them. As I said, Notre Dame, they're on a 15-game heater. They've got the weekend off. So knowing the NCAA, they'll probably keep them at number 1 no matter what. Doesn't matter. NCAA just loves that. Or else they'll drop them down to number 5. You have no clue with those guys. They host number 18, Wisco, Wisconsin, next weekend. Wisconsin's in town. That'll be a big one. Some of those teams. You know what? Number 18. Not bad. Wisconsin's solid. They got that goalie from St. Lawrence transferred over. Notre Dame's got Jake Evans, though. Should be on the Canadian Olympic team, no doubt. 28 points in 22 games. He was good at the Spengler Cup. If you've seen him out there, he's easy. Easy one of Canada's top forwards. He was good. Notre Dame, still undefeated on the road this season. That's impressive. Got some tough tests coming up, though. Starting next weekend, number 18, Wisconsin. St. Cloud's coming off a tough loss on the road. Minnesota, the Mariucci, lost 2-0 there the night before. They beat Minnesota 5-2. That's a Casey Mittelstadt less Minnesota squad. They've got number 12, Western Michigan, this weekend at home. Number 12, Western Michigan. Should be a couple of gritty wins. Wade Allison tearing up D1 for Michigan this year. I don't know. I'm still going to go with St. Cloud. They're good. Can't see them losing. But I've been wrong before. Western Michigan, a gritty team. They're grinding out some of those wins. Schultz leading the way in St. Cloud. Jimmy Schultz, 22 points through 19 games. Expect Jeff Smith to get the starts. He's been good, 9.27 save percentage in 12 games. David Hranek, the Slovakian World Junior goalie, we talked about him a little bit. He's got a 9.61 save percentage. That's nuts. Ridiculous. Probably don't expect that to stick around. Either way, St. Cloud, I'm going to pick them to win this. I don't see too much competition. Never know. Never know, though. Clarkson, they could be one of the most untested teams this year. They've had a fairly easy schedule. They've also beat some of those better teams pretty handily. Or else they could be one of the biggest busts and just be a first-round playoff exit that got ranked too high all season. 2 pretty easy games again this weekend. They got 500, 11-11, Union. Then us tonight, then tomorrow. They've got RPI, 3 wins on the air. If you lose to RPI, you probably should drop out of that top 10. Should you? I think so. One of the most underrated teams this year, Ohio State. Good test. They got a great chance to prove themselves this weekend. I think they're at number 8 or so. Not too sure exactly where they're ranked. Yeah, number 8. Looks like that. They're 14-4-4 on the season. They got number 13 Penn State this weekend. That's going to be huge taking on tonight. They've got two sick goalies in Ohio. Both of their goalies have been solid all year long. Sean Romeo Sr., 97 save percentage. Napier, he's a freshman, so you can't expect too much from him, but he's still got a 928 save percentage. That's awesome. When your freshman goalie can come in and you've got that confidence, like, hey, no worries. We're not worried at all. Still a goalie. We've got two solid. Lyshynski's got 29 points, 22 games for him. Tanner Lyshynski. Looking good up front. Ohio State could do some damage. Big Ten school. The Big Ten's kind of a little bit weaker this year. Don't count them out. Mark my words. Do not count those guys out. Ohio State, there's more damage to be done. More damage to be done, for sure. Switching over, a little ACHA. Won't cover too much of that. We're kind of running out. We'll wind the show down here pretty soon. Looking at the ACHA, rankings are out. I guess they came out January here. Can't even find a date on it. Oh, January 10th, Wednesday. WHL trade deadline day. Number 1, Adrian, 17-1 in the season. Not too shocked. Minot State coming in at number 2, Ohio at 3, Lindenwood at 4, and Robert Morris, Illinois at 5. Some notables still down the list. Stony Brook at 11. They've only got 3 regulation losses. Other teams that kind of got in probably shouldn't have. Midland, 5-9 on the year. Jamestown's 8-11-1. Alabama's been good, 11-5 on the season. Arizona State, they're 7-17. They've got them ranked at 24. Meh. Maybe the ACHA just threw them in there for fun. Once it gets out of that top 10, whatever, it's a toss-up anyways. Liberty should be higher. Liberty's got a heck of a team. UNLV, they're having a great season, ranked at number 10. There's a bunch of games going on this weekend. There's some big ones that you should be watching out for. Army versus Navy. The ACHA version, Army versus Navy, goes tonight. Definitely be tuned into that one. Minot State versus ASU also going on tonight. Going to be a big one. Minot's got a huge weekend ahead. They got UNLV and ASU. And some D3. You know what? Savannah Hockey Classic. We'll get you set for that one in games we're watching tonight. Go a little bit more in-depth into that one. It's the biggest tournament of the season for D3 hockey. It's outrageous. I mean, old-style barn. I think it's Georgia Tech, Georgia, Florida State, and University of Florida, the Gators. Great tournament. That's massive for D3. That looks awesome on these schools. These kids will never play in front of these crowds again, most likely. Don't get me wrong. Some of them may move on to minor pro. You never know. It's crazy, though. Crazy what they do. Savannah Hockey Classic going on this weekend, starting tonight. Check that out. Hey, let's bring back Adam. Adam wants to come back. We'll talk about what's trending, games we're watching tonight. Coming up here. Bringing back Adam for what's trending here. Going through all the Twitter. You know what? If you haven't yet, follow us on Twitter, World Hockey Report, World Hockey RPT. Twitter handle kind of screwed us over. Adam, what's good this week?
What's good this week? Might have been a little late, but, you know, shout out to the Twitter followers. 600,000 views on a video that we posted. 600,000.
605. That's over 500,000. 605,000. That was nuts. Now, you got this up, like, ASAP after. It was the World Junior game. Anderson there launches his silver medal. We're still getting notifications. That's nuts. That, thanks to everyone who's done all that retweet, like, that's ridiculous. Adam, what's your highest on your personal account for retweets or likes?
Oh, probably like 5 retweets and maybe like 50-some likes on my personal account.
That's impressive. You know, if I get 20 likes, I'm happy. So, yeah, over 1,000 likes, 600, and 5,000 views. That was nuts. That's definitely trending on Twitter. Maybe a little bit old now, but, you know, that was crazy. Did you see that those two KHL teammates, Andrei Staus and Mikhail Fesenko, they're two teammates in the KHL. They started chucking nucks. Good old Donnybrook. And it looked like Orthodox Christmas, Ukrainian Christmas. Like, they're having some fancy-ass dinner. And these two just start haymaking. That was hilarious. Did you see that one?
I didn't, but I'm just going to assume it's Russia, so you can never be too surprised.
Only in Russia. Only in Russia. Anything else that... we got one more before I let you even talk here. Some more of our insider hate on here, not to mention more names, another TSN person, was trying to tell everyone to be nice about those non-NHL Canadian Olympic players. And then someone, not going to say who, went back and found some dirt about him chirping the Olympics literally like a month and a half before, saying like, we should just skip it and go to the worry about the World Championships. So, yeah, that's what you get. Two-faced. We'll shit on you. It's on our Twitter. Yeah, not afraid. Don't be like that. Don't try to play good guy when a month before you were just absolutely dumping on him. It's not cool. What else did you see on Twitter there, Adam?
I saw our boy Rasmus Dahlin just absolutely embarrass an older man in the Swedish Elite League.
He broke his ankles. That was nuts. That kid's so good. That, just the stick handling on him, could you imagine playing him one-on-one? Like, I think it makes it worse. It gets in people's head that he's only 17 years old or whatever. Like, there comes a point where you're like, holy shit, this kid could be the next Lidstrom, Carlson. He's nuts. Incredible. All to say the least.
Yeah, he's on his track to do so.
Big Friday night. Not going to go tear it up too crazy. There's tons of hockey on. I mean, what are you going to be watching tonight? Raptors, they had a huge one last night. Absolutely dusted. LeBron's and the Cleveland Cavaliers, so no more basketball for you. Hockey games, though, there's some big ones. What are you going to be watching?
Probably not the Oilers and Coyotes. You know, I'll stick with the Flames while they're hot. They won their fifth straight last night, so, you know, they go across Florida tonight or today and face the Florida Panthers. So I'll probably have my eyes on that.
Huge 5-1 dusting of Tampa Bay there. Hey, we were talking about Canada-USA earlier. Well, you know what game's going on. The U18s, semifinals in Russia. Probably check into that one. Either European hockey there, the Continental Cup. The Super Final going on this weekend. Bunch of teams, different countries meeting up, playing each other. That's going to be fun. College hockey, there's some big ones. St. Cloud looking to get back on top. They got Western Michigan. Savannah Hockey Classic for all you D3 fans out there. Kind of the boring games tonight. Georgia Tech, Florida State, and then Florida and Georgia. Tomorrow's the big one, the rivalry one there. Savannah Hockey Classic. Adam, have you ever heard of that before or seen anything about it? D3 tournament in the South, it's massive.
I have not.
I don't think many people have. It is as ACHA as it gets in those... I mean, I don't even know what type of barn it is. It hardly looks like a hockey rink. It looks like something from Slapshot. They just throw a slab of ice down. I mean, they pack it. There's 4,000 or 5,000 fans in there. It's nuts. It's wild. And it's just little ACHA schools. I mean, exactly what you'd expect for hockey quality. It's D3 quality. That's going on this weekend. It's pretty cool. Check that out. Also, tonight on 12 Ounce Sports Radio, we get Capital Junior Hockey League action coming up. Fort Saskatchewan, the Hawks, taking on the North Edmonton Red Wings. Pre-game show with me, Cody Jansen. Maybe Adam will join me. 9:50 Eastern Time, only on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. That's all coming up. But that's going to do it. World Hockey Report. Another episode, January 12th. We're almost at our one-month anniversary, I think. I have to have a big episode for that or something. But yet again, Adam, thanks for joining me on this one. We're going to be back next week, Friday, exact same time, 6 o'clock Eastern on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. Have a good night.